Hi, I'm Tara Coleman from Kansas State University.
And I'm Carissa Powell at the University of Tennessee in Knoxville.
And we are here to talk to you about why we want to poke our eyes out, why meetings suck, and how we think we can help you make them better.
Tara, tell me what you love about talking about meetings and helping people have better meeting experiences.
I really like talking about meeting management because to me, meeting management is similar to teaching. If you have a plan in advance, you think through your goals, and you simply and articulately explain to the people in the room what should happen or what you're hoping will happen, you can get a much better product. People will maybe not enjoy it, but they will not feel like their time was wasted. And no one likes to have wasted time.
Yeah, I feel like meetings take up a good chunk of people's work lives, and that can be both a really great experience if a meeting is well thought out, well prepared for, and that can also be really frustrating if you get out of a meeting and feel like things weren't accomplished or you weren't sure what you were doing there.
In these several episodes, we're going to talk about how meetings can be a struggle and ideas on how to make it better. And since we have so many great ideas, we broke this up into multiple episodes. So you can go straight to the topic you're interested in or listen to it all the way through, whatever floats your boat. Carissa, I know that life management, working from home, can be an issue. Have you experienced anything you're willing to share?
Yes. So working from home has been really interesting. I want to acknowledge that there's that duality of I'm both very thankful to work from home, and it also comes with some challenges. I think one of the challenges has been it's just rough. Like, it's very challenging to be working from a space that was, I think it's been challenging to transition to working from home when home used to be this oasis away from work, and now work and home have just blended into one amorphous blob.
Your partner also works from home, and that is new for both of you, right?
Yes. So that has also been a bit of a challenge, is that we, you know, when we moved into this house 2.5 years ago, nobody was like, you should really make sure you have an extra bedroom so that you can convert it into an office when there's a pandemic in 2020. So we have a very small one-bedroom house. For those listening, you can't see, but I am working at a fold-up Target desk in the corner of my bedroom, and my partner is working at the kitchen table. So we're making it work, but it was definitely took a little while to get here to feel like it was workable. How about you, Tara? What's your work-life situation in the pandemic?
I'm the only one who works from home. My partner works out of the house, and my kiddo goes to preschool and daycare, so I have the house to myself. But it does change how I do things. I bought this house in the pandemic, and I didn't expect to have a space that would have to be work, and I should have. I don't know what I was thinking, but it makes me love the space a little less because all I do when I walk by or I go into it is it's work, work, work. So I have it a little better because I don't have to worry about being in a small space with other people while I'm trying to get things done. Are there things in particular that you would recommend to others that will help make the situation less of a struggle?
Yeah, so I definitely think that this is probably a common issue that people who are working from home are facing. We recognize that probably not everyone listening to this podcast is working from home, so this might not be as relevant to you. But I think some things that have worked really well is having some conversations with the people who are co-working in your same space to talk about what are some norms we want to set? How do we signal to each other that we're in the middle of something and we can't take a break? Or how do we also communicate something big is going on and we do need to talk about something in the moment.
So that could be a sign or a dry erase board with your schedule on it that says, you have Zoom meeting from this time to this time, or I'm Zoom meeting also eating lunch. So you might see me walk through to the kitchen, but you can't talk to me because I'm still like in the middle of something.
Yeah. I think another thing we did that was really helpful is that we like gave sharing permissions on our work calendars to each other, which has been really helpful to be able to look at each other's calendar and go, ah, they are in the middle of an appointment with a student right now. Like, I will wait until they have a break in 15 minutes. Have there been any tips or tricks that have worked really well for you in your household?
I can just transition for a minute. I am a foster parent. And if you know anything about kids, transition can be hard. And my kiddo was placed with me right after I moved into my new house. And my child had some transition challenges. And she stayed at home with me for maybe the first 3 weeks. And working from home with a scared, traumatized toddler was really hard. And most of my day is spent in meetings. And I had to tell people beginning, middle, and end that I was totally paying attention, but I had a screaming kiddo with me. And I am so blessed that most of my call, actually everyone I have worked with has been amazing and understanding, but sometimes they forget. So the things that I did came a little bit from my experience and from advice from other people. So I always let people know what my situation is. So my toddler is much more acclimated now, but if there is a time she's at home with me, I let people know I have my kiddo with me and she's doing great, but you might see her dancing behind me while I'm trying to be serious. I didn't know about the need for that announcement until I was having a very serious discussion with someone and everyone in my Zoom meeting was like holding back giggles. And I turned around and my kiddo was like dancing to a nursery rhyme. It was really cute, but it did take away from the seriousness of the meeting. So letting people know in advance, you know, every meeting has a different culture. And if your meeting is everyone keeps their camera on, everyone's unmuted, you might have to talk in advance about the need to be muted. I had a meeting where someone didn't realize, and I thought I had explained it, but maybe I wasn't as clear as I could have been. So my kiddo was screaming for a solid hour and I was muted the whole time and they didn't believe I was there, or maybe they forgot. And I was typing it in the chat that, you know, I was there, but I was dealing with something. And they just didn't get it. And I had to unmute myself and they could hear my poor kid screaming. And I'm like, I'm still here. I'm paying attention. And what I learned from that is not only do I want to communicate, but also I need to follow up with an email afterwards. Like, hey, you know, thanks for your patience with me. Here are some of the things I wasn't able to share in the meeting. And creating that atmosphere has been really helpful. And for my other colleagues who maybe have older kids or schooling from home, who don't realize that when the grown-up is talking, that they should wait to interrupt when they have a question about they can get a snack or how do you do this math problem. And I think if we're all understanding, it makes it a lot better, but clear communication is really important.
Switching gears again slightly, I think that kind of lends itself to it's very easy to feel overwhelmed. There's a lot of things happening in the world on top of just trying to work from home in a pandemic. Do you have any solutions or tips and tricks for some of the ways you have managed that feeling of overwhelm? Like sometimes maybe you just look at your calendar and feel stressed out just looking at your calendar. I hope that happens to other people and not just me.
Oh, totally. Here's a couple of things I wish I had done at the beginning. If I could go back to, you know, if current Tara could talk to past Tara, I would schedule breaks on the day that are non-negotiable, or they are breaks that can only be changed for certain things. And sometimes it's lunch. Sometimes it is a certain part of the day that I have to get up. I have had the worst back. And part of it is not having a like ergonomic set situation in the office, my home office. Sometimes it's because there are fewer distractions, which I love, but that means I don't get up and go and do something. And at the beginning, when your calendar is full, it's really hard to put those breaks in. So if you're listening to this and you haven't put in breaks, like, we're probably going to be working from home for a while. So go ahead and do it for the next month and have a reoccurring break. Especially if you have a meeting that always runs long. A wonderful cheat for me, I have a particular meeting that the facilitator probably puts 20 agenda items in an hour meeting, and the first agenda item can literally be 15 minutes long, and it can go over by an hour. I schedule a break after that meeting. So if the meeting's at 1, my break's at 2. I don't tell anyone what the break is, but if we are getting close to 2 o'clock, I send a chat saying, hey, I have a meeting in 10 minutes. Is there anything you need from me before we go? And then I leave the meeting. That helps a lot. I also keep my beverages in the kitchen. So I have to get up. So unless I'm doing like a podcast, I have one glass at my desk and then I have to get up to refill it so that I'm getting up as often as I did when I was in my library on campus. Do you have any tips that might be helpful?
Yeah, in terms of calendar management, and I think, of course, this really depends on how much power and autonomy you have over your calendar. But I have come a long way in realizing how I will feel at the end of X amount of Zoom meetings and have worked really hard to schedule breaks in between Zoom meetings and be very protective of those breaks. I think that was harder to do at the beginning where a lot of things just transferred equally from whatever we were doing before to being on Zoom. And being physically in a room with people feels really different from being on a Zoom screen. They're not the same thing. And so I think just accepting that Zoom is very different and I feel very different at the end of a meeting. And so I really am thankful for scheduling those breaks in between Zoom meetings and have come a long ways in saying, oh, no, I really need a break in between these meetings. Can we bump that meeting forward 30 minutes so that I have a little buffer time?
Yeah, and we'll talk more about this later, but if you are creating a meeting, often it does not need to be an hour. And if you think about people being back to back and not having space to end a meeting, take care of their body needs and come back, starting and ending your meetings 5 minutes early or late can help everyone. And I know that people will appreciate you a lot more knowing that you're thoughtful enough to consider the other things going on in people's lives outside of your meeting. We'd love to know what you all think. Share with us some of the common issues you've experienced in meetings, either pre or post pandemic, and some solutions that you've come up with. We would love to learn from you. This is Tara Coleman.
And I'm Carissa Powell.
Till next time, peace out.
Bye.